Today in Jerusalem, a Palm Sunday procession took place. They are 7 hours ahead of us, so we're a little behind on our celebration. It began in a little Franciscan church in Bethphage, just east of the old city. Small chapel, really, decorated with frescoes of the scene that opened our service today. The separation wall that divides modern-day Israel from the West Bank is visible from that church's courtyard. Now, there is no way to know, of course, whether or not that church marks the spot where today's story begins. No way of knowing what patch of land Jesus stood on when he mounted that colt. No way of knowing where his followers threw down their cloaks and leafy branches. No way of knowing how that colt wound its way through the Kidron Valley and back up to the holy city, to the temple steps. We do know, however, that one sight stands out among the many markers in Jerusalem, one sight among the many we'll visit in our readings in the upcoming week, one sight where followers of the way have made their pilgrimage for centuries. It is the site of Jesus' tomb. Not 15 minutes away from Bethphage by car, enclosed in an even smaller chapel in the old city, in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, a place where only 3 or 4 pilgrims at a time fit to kneel and pray, placing their hands on the stone where the tomb is supposed to have laid. It is a strange thing how much of the Gospels focus on Jesus' last week on earth. A lot took place in Jesus' admittedly short life and ministry, and yet the great bulk of the 4 gospel accounts focus on this 1 week of Jesus' passion, his slow and grueling climb toward the cross. Mark itself, the gospel we've just read from, is no exception. It is often characterized as a passion narrative with a long introduction. If you pick up the red books in front of you in the pews, the Books of Common Prayer, you'll notice that the heart of the book itself are the liturgies of Holy Week, the point from which we make sense of everything else we do in the entire liturgical year. How are we to make sense of this gruesome story? What does it mean for us to walk with Jesus through his final days? Now, it's all too easy to draw abstract conclusions about the meaning of Jesus' crucifixion, all too tempting to simply see it as a God who desires punishment, a sacrificial lamb that somehow quells God's anger through his death. Yet that is to miss the drama of the story, the experience of the voices we've heard from today. It is to miss the fact that before theologians tried to make sense of Jesus' sacrifice, the disciples found it important to tell and retell and write down the story as they best remembered it. It is to miss how, at the very moment when the disciples were to walk triumphantly into Jerusalem, this Jesus of Nazareth strode in a donkey instead, refusing the pomp and circumstance of military might in the face of the violence of a Roman Empire. It is to miss how, in that very moment when Jesus needed his friends the most, they abandoned him, each in their own way, leaving him to die a criminal's death. Parker Palmer, a renowned theologian and educator, speaks of his experience with God in depression in a profound way. To move closer to the light, he says, is to move closer to the darkness as well. To walk with Jesus in this scene, to really step into this crucial moment in Jesus' life, is actually to understand how God has stepped into our own lives, into the crucible of our deepest pain and sorrow. It is to understand how Jesus did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself right into our fragile existence. Not just our best moments, but into the experience of the lowest of the low. To really understand Jesus' sacrifice is to begin to wrestle with a God who chooses to be with us in our deepest pain and sorrow, in the very margins of existence, and therefore in solidarity with those on the verge of death, isolated, those deemed criminal, despairing, without hope. This is the great scandal of the Christian faith. Not a God who chooses us because of what we've got, not a God who chooses us at our best, but a God who chooses us in the midst of the worst of moments of our life. And throughout history, the great cloud of witnesses has retold this gruesome story as they worshiped in secret in catacombs, as they saw their loved ones ripped away by war, sickness, and famine, as the power that be denied their human dignity and freedom. They told this story for the simple reason that this God made human. In this once and future King and Messiah, they found one who stood with them in their suffering and promised hope against hope, a world in which these things too would pass. A world in which everything would be made right, a world in which death would be no more. But we are not there yet, my friends. So we sit here with the witness of saints gone by, and we tell the story again today. In the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the site of Jesus' burial in the old city in Jerusalem, you will notice as you make your way through the church that there are markings off the wall, a complex lattice pattern on every single bare surface, smoothed by the centuries. It's a collection of crosses that people have etched right into the stone, the graffiti left behind by pilgrims who have visited there century after century on their arrival to one of Christianity's holiest sites. We are not the first to revisit the scene, my friends. We are not the first to face the suffering that is present in our world today. We are merely pilgrims on the way. Will you walk with the long cloud of witnesses today? May God grant us the grace to do so, that in Jesus' walk to Golgotha, we may find a companion and guide. Amen.